Thank you for listening to this message from Life Christian Center.
Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. It says this: watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. All right? Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, and be strong. Now, I'm going to kind of break this down just a little bit this morning before we move on to some points that I believe God has laid on my heart. But I think that as fathers, this verse is very fitting, and we'll see maybe why even a little closer in just a moment. But how many knows that as fathers, we need to be watching? Amen? That word watch there means to give strict attention to and to be active. How many knows that you can be present as a father but not active as a father? You see, and I think that's a downfall for our society today. There are fathers who are present, but they're not active. And so we have to make sure that as fathers, as stepfathers, as spiritual fathers, as men of integrity this morning, we have to make sure that we are giving strict attention to our families and being active within that circle group of how things work. He goes on to say, be steadfast. And that just simply means this: to stand firm or to persist or to persevere. How many knows being a father, sometimes you got to persist and persevere? I watched last week, Germonte sat down with his family and they ate. And the kids were like bopping balloons against his head. And I was like, how is he not blowing up right now? And he was like, no, dude, like, how? How are you doing? I would blow up. I would pop the, I was ready to get my knife out and like, I was going to help a brother out, man, you know? And he was like, sometimes as fathers, we got to persist and persevere, but we have to persist and persevere in those small things. But there's a very big thing here that we have to persist and persevere in. And it says that we have to do that in our faith, all right? It says, stand fast in the faith. Everybody say faith. All right, which basically means this: a strong conviction or belief that Jesus is the Messiah through whom we obtain eternal salvation and we enter into the kingdom of God. All right, how many fathers do we have here this morning? How many of you fathers would say Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, he is the only way to heaven? All right, the Bible tells us that we have to persist and persevere and stand fast in that very knowledge. Again, taking that stance and being, again, very active in our family's situation. That last little thing there, be strong, it means this: to be established, to not only be strong, but to grow strong. How many knows as fathers, our job is never done? How many of you have grown kids? Like, they're out of the house, grown, you a grandpa, grandpappy, great-great-grandpappy maybe even now. Did you know that your job is not done yet? Did you know that when you become a grandfather or a great-grandfather, the only thing that happens is you gain more responsibility? Because now you're not only responsible for what you have produced in your family, but you're responsible for your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren and so on and so forth. You see, we have to make sure that we understand that we're as men, as fathers, that we are standing strong in the faith, but that we're also growing in our faith. How can our families grow in faith if we're not growing in faith, right? Because how many knows that while we can say, hey, do what I say, how many knows that most of the time our children are doing what we do? Okay, we can say, do this, but they tend to repeat what they see the most. So we know that we need to stand strong in the faith, and we need to be strong in our spiritual walk and continually grow and become strengthened in that. Now, I skipped be brave for a very specific reason, and I want to go back to that this morning. Everybody say, be brave. Now say it like you mean it, like be brave. Like just, okay, at the count of three, ready? One, two, three. Be brave. It was closer. I was really wanting like a Braveheart moment right there, but we just got a be brave moment, okay? But when you read that, we can kind of think, okay, bravery, courage, and we kind of get stuck there. The King James uses maybe a little bit different terminology than what we would use today. It says, quit you like men. And sometimes we can read that and then look at our society today and be like, yeah, that's what they've done. They've quit. Fathers all across the nation, they're quitting. They're dropping like flies. But that's not what that means. Again, to quit you like men or to be brave, as the New King James renders it, it means this: to make a man, specifically to make a man brave. Do we have any brave men, brave fathers here today? Now, my dad, when I was growing up and I would do something stupid or get in trouble or, you know, and he'd have to, you know, kind of get on to me, discipline me, you know, give me the talk. I used to beg for beatings once I became about 15. I was like, Dad, please just beat me. Don't talk to me. Don't tell me how disappointed you are in me, because that is like worse than 1,000 lashings. And he took pleasure in that and never whipped me again and talked me to death, all right? But it made me part of the man that I am today, okay? But you see, what happens is a lot of times when we get into this, we think that being brave is just this element of being courageous, all right? But here in the scripture, it does denote bravery. It does denote being courageous, but it also means to behave with wisdom. How many know, as a father, you've got to behave with wisdom, because you have to outsmart your children, because they too are from the Lord, and they begin to learn things and know things. And if your children are anything like my children, they will use the word of God against you. They were like, well, Dad, but doesn't the Bible say this? I'm like, you are correct, but I rebuke you, Satan. Get away. No, I'm just kidding. You see, but what it really boils down to, if you were to take this phrase, quit you like men, or be brave, if you were to boil that down, what it really denotes is this: act like men. It's just a simple command. Act like men. And I know that we live in a time where we maybe if you grew up in a certain era, a man looks like this. And I was going to give pictures this morning, but I didn't want to offend anybody, mainly millennials. So I did not use pictures specifically for this morning. But sometimes, depending on what generation we grew up in, or maybe depending on how our father interacted with us, we have a specific view of what a man should look like or act like. But again, I want to steer away from everything that is cultural. I want to steer away from everything that is stereotypical this morning. And how many knows that even this morning, in 2019, all right, skinny jean wearing dads can be good fathers? All right, now we're like, no. Yes, they can, okay? They can, all right? Because that's not the things that we're talking about. We're not talking about outward things. We're talking about inward things this morning, amen? Now, I want to read that again to you in the New American Standard, because it says this: be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, and be strong, all right? Now, there are three specific areas that God very promptly laid on my heart this week as I begin to prepare for this. And I think there are areas that we as fathers need to make sure we're acting like men. All right. Now, does that mean that this word only applies to fathers this morning? Absolutely not, because it is the word of God. And how many know the word of God applies to all of us? Amen? Okay. All right. Now, the first thing is this: we need to act like men through prayer. All right, everybody say prayer. I want to take you to James chapter 5 and verse 17. It says this: Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. Now, the first thing notable there is this: that Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. How many times do we feel like we're the exception, fathers? Well, they don't know. They haven't been where I've been. They don't see the things that I've seen. It's really bad. I'm talking like Batman because that's what my children call me. I don't know why. But you see, what we need to remember is this: we're just men. And the same nature that we have today, it says that Elijah had a nature just like that. But the important part was he didn't let being a man. How many know sometimes as a man, we think we can think, We can fix everything on our own. Okay, I'm the only one? Yeah, right. You see, as fathers, sometimes we think and we want to fix everything. And in these, and if you look back at the story, I'm sure that there were moments where Elijah thought, man, you know, I'm pretty good. I think I can accomplish some of this. But there came a point where he had to pray in a way that it was supernatural. There was nothing that he could do. And as fathers, I think one of the things that we can often walk away from the quickest, the fastest, and the easiest is prayer. Can I tell you that as a father, you need to be praying for your family every day? Every single day. And even if they're grown and I have family members of their own now, you still need to be praying for them. And like I said earlier, you have responsibility to pray for your grandchildren as well. You see, we need to be praying for their day. We need to be praying for the things that they're going to encounter. We need to be covering them with the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. We need to step up and we need to be that individual who stands in the gap and prays for our children, prays specifically for our family. You see, it goes on, it says that he prayed earnestly. That means that he prayed fervently. When he prayed, it wasn't just, Lord, bless my kids today, keep them safe, let them come home, and let them not be as hungry as they were when they left. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about fervency. It's talking about praying for your kids with passion and intentionality. How many knows that our kids today go through a lot of stuff? You see, they go off to this thing that we call public school, and I call it a war zone. Some of our teachers may agree. I don't know. It's not as bad as maybe it seems, but it's not as good as it could be. And I'm telling you this, if you're not praying for your kid, you're messing up. If you're not praying for your wife, you're messing up. Because they need you to stand in the gap and be a man of prayer, a man who will pray earnestly, fervently, a man that will pray with passion and intention over his family. The second thing is this, we are to provide, all right? We're to pray, we are to provide. I want to take you to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. It says this, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Oh my, are you serious? Like worse than an unbeliever. Let's read this in the Amplified version as well this morning. It says, if anyone fails to provide for his relatives and especially for those of his own family, he has disowned the faith by failing to accompany it with fruits and is worse than an unbeliever who performs his obligation in these matters. How many know providing for our families is important, man? A lot of times, though, I think we can get to a place where we feel like all we are is a paycheck. Anybody ever felt that way? I'm just a paycheck. That's all it is. How many knows that fathers are worth more than a paycheck? Amen? And I do believe that we need to provide for our families financially and provide for those physical needs that they have. But how many knows that your children and your wife, your families, they have more needs than just a paycheck? And we have to remember that, and we have to be faithful to provide for those things the same way. And what it means to provide is that you think beforehand or you perceive something beforehand. Well, how is that possible? Well, it's possible because, as we talked about earlier, you're going to be actively engaged in your family. You're going to pay strict attention to what's going on so that you know not only what those physical needs are that need to be met within that structure, but also the spiritual and emotional needs. I have two girls. Every need that they have is emotional. Even if it is food, it is emotional. And so we have to be perceptive of that. And I thought, you know, I just had it in my mind. I was going to have boys. That's probably one of those things that fathers do, and we're dumb for thinking that way, okay? But God blessed me with two beautiful little girls, and there are things that sometimes they need. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I'm like, walk it off or something, you know? And Shannon's like, that doesn't work. I'm like, tuck yourself into bed. She's like, John, that's not going to work. You see, sometimes it's those little things like tucking them into bed that matter the most. And sometimes it's those little things like tucking them into bed that when they're starting to move into sixth grade and you're fearing that moment's going to come when they don't want you to tuck them into bed anymore. Personal issue, sorry. But you see, we need to be able to provide, and we are to provide far beyond finances. You see, we're to provide hugs and smiles and affirmation, all of those things that sometimes get sidelined. We need to provide them. And how many knows, even fathers, if what you have is little boys, you can still provide smiles and hugs and affirmation for your sons as well as you can your daughters. Amen. They need to know that you can be tender. They need to know that you can express and show emotion in a correct way. We need to provide them that example. You see, provision requires involvement and investment. And as fathers, we need to be doing that. We need to be involved and we need to be investing in our children, in our families. Amen? So we need to be men of prayer. We need to be men of provision. And the third thing is this, we need to be men who come and protect our families. How many are like, yeah, man, I got that, bro. I'll be the first to admit, dude, I'm too old now to fight. Like, I just have to pray the Lord a hedge of protection around about my children and stuff, because I'm like, dude, I can't whoop them anymore. I'll be gassed out before I get to them, you know? So that's why you got to cover them in prayer, all right? Or carry a .357, I don't know which, but all right, and then pray over your bullets, all right? But protection, we normally, again, we go to that element of defense for our family. And again, please, be the defender of your home. Be a man, okay? Well, no, let me go on. All right. But this morning, I want to talk about protection through discipline and instruction, or another word that we would call it maybe parenting today, which seems to be a lost art for fathers. How many know that parenting is important? Again, parenting means that you're involved, that you're investing. I want to take you to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. It says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." All right, bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. You see, bringing them up means nurture. And again, a lot of times we're like, well, that's mom's job. I feel like if nurturing was also dad's job, which it is scripturally, that it wouldn't be the least attended holiday in church. Because how many knows, again, that fathers can be nurturing? Now, we can also kick you straight up out the nest when you need it, all right? But we can also nurture. It's a balancing. You see, and for us, to nurture means to care for and encourage growth and development. I have to admit that I probably would not be the father or the individual that I am today if my father had not taken the time to make sure that I was growing and developing in my spiritual life, yes, but also in my natural life. How many knows it's okay to pass on knowledge? How many knows we should be passing on knowledge, right, fathers? You see, so we need to bring them up and nurture. We need to care for them, encourage them in ways that are going to create positive growth and development in their lives. Because the last thing that this world needs is another unproductive member of society. So fathers have to step up to the plate. You see, training or discipline means this, the whole training and education. That means all of life. Now, maybe you're that guy who you don't change your own oil. I used to be, and then I got lazy, and I let Ford do it now. But I know how. You see, we need to pass on simple things like, and maybe you're not the mechanical type, all right? But the things that you know, how many knows budgeting is something that fathers should pass on to their children? How to write a check, please pass that on to your children. How to work for your money. Please pass that on to your children. You see, there's many things that as fathers we can be stepping up and we can be encouraging and we can be caring for them, but at the same time we can be training them. It's the whole of life is what that word encompasses. Don't miss a moment to create a productive member of society. You see, we're to cultivate their soul, we're to correct their mistakes, and we're to focus their passions, not delete their passions. For most of you, you've met Emma. Emma is a very passionate young lady. And I can remember that when she was about 3, maybe 4, she skipped the terrible twos. She was perfect through her twos perfect is a strong word. She was good. But it seemed like when she got between that 3 and 4 mark, she went plumb crazy. And we had just moved into our other house, and she was slamming doors and throwing toys. And Shannon called me one day, and she said, "I've done everything I can do, John. I've whooped her. I've taken off. She has nothing in her room but her bed and her dresser, like with her clothes in it. I've removed all of her toys. She's still slamming doors. She's like crazy. You've got to come home and do something. So I'm driving home. I'm going to tear her up. I'm going to beat her. The law is going to get called. I'm going to have to go to jail. The board's going to have to bail me out. But on my way over, you know, it was kind of like the Lord reminded me that she is a passionate child. And that I didn't need to eliminate that passion, but that I had to focus that passion. And so I got home, and I very sternly walked through the door, and I said, put your shoes on. She said, why? I said, put your shoes on right now. I said, meet me outside. So she put her shoes on. She met me outside. I walked her to the bottom of our hill, and we had a tree that had fallen down, and I'd cut it up. So I started splitting firewood. And I said, all right, here. And I gave her a piece of firewood. I said, carry it up to the top of the hill and stack it by the house. Great. I love this. She took off. She came back down the hill. I loaded up another piece of firewood. This is great, Dad. I like working with you. Up to the top of the hill, back down. Well, about the eighth piece, she didn't like packing firewood anymore. You see, sometimes we have to teach them through different methods, not to break them, but to focus that passion. Amen? You see, we have to train them, discipline them on the whole, all right? But it also says admonition, all right, which means instruction. But here specifically it denotes this, fathers, that we are to exhort such as belongs to the Lord or proceeds from him. In other words, we need to be taking what is in the word and we need to be planting it in our lives so that we can plant it into their lives. We need to do the training, the whole natural life, but we also have to fulfill the spiritual life. And if you're not going to step up and be the man of your house, the priest of your home, something else or someone else will. And so we have to make sure that as fathers, we're willing to protect them by standing up and actually parenting them and being the man of God that he has called us to be and raise our children through, again, discipline and instruction. Again, how many knows that you can discipline without being harsh? Now, from time to time, I'll say, man, I got beat as a child. I did get a lot of spankings. I think I did get beat once because I can still remember it and occasionally feel it. But how many knows you don't have to abuse your children to discipline them? Amen? You can discipline them through love and you can correct them through instruction, again, with love. Because how many knows that's how our Heavenly Father deals with us? Amen? So as godly men, as fathers this morning, we need to be men of prayer, men of provision, and men of protection. Don't be afraid to be a parent. I know that you may be in the weirdest of situations. Don't be afraid to step up and be the father that God has called you to be. Because I guarantee you, if you will stand and be a man of integrity, when all of it's said and done, should you depart this life before Christ comes back, what they're going to remember you for are those very good things, those qualities, those moments when you stood up, when you towed the line and you made sure that things happened the way that they should happen as a father, as a man of God. Now, I know, again, this morning that maybe, you know, fathers, for some of us, we didn't have them, so it's hard to view the importance of a father this morning. And I wanted to specifically approach this morning without statistics, but I want to leave you one this morning. If you'll stand with me as they come this morning, I want to leave you with just one statistic that really stood out to me in my time of study. And that is this. When the father acts as the spiritual head of the house, there is a 93% probability that everyone else in the household will follow. When dad decides to stand up and be a man of prayer, when he gives strict attention and action to his family, when dad stands up to be the provider that he needs to be, not only financially, but emotionally, spiritually, when dad stands up and he becomes the protector and the parenter of that home, again, you gotta have mom, all right? Do it with mom. Now, if you're a single dad, all the power to you, all right? I watched my brother do that, and that was, again, I don't know how in the world that he has done it other than by the grace of God. But we need to stand up, whether we're, again, part of a team or running that ship solo. And we need to be men of prayer, men of provision, and men who are willing to protect our family and parent them and teach them and train them, not only the earthly things. How sad would it be if we taught our children a trade but never taught them the love of Jesus Christ? How horrible would it be if we made them really good at a hobby, but we never taught them how to study the Word of God? Strict attention to, we need to be men of action, men who are willing to step into that role and give strict attention to what our children and our families need. And I believe that in this church this morning, there are some great men. And I believe that they're great men because I have watched you. I've watched you interact. Are you perfect this morning? No, and neither am I. But how many knows that we can strive to be more like our Heavenly Father so that we can be a better earthly father? Amen? So this morning, I want you guys to surround our fathers. Fathers, if you would, I want you to step out and come forward this morning. Just make a line across the front. Just keep facing me, guys. Don't worry about who comes up behind you. I got your back, all right? Mothers are awesome, but fathers are awesome too. And this morning, like I have already mentioned, we've got an amazing group of fathers here. And I want to pray over them. And I want us as a congregation, as a body, to bless them and to ask God to use them and anoint them in greater ways in the days ahead. Amen. So if you would, I want you to stretch your hands forth this morning as we pray over these men of God today. Father, I thank you for each and every man that stands before me. God, I know that some of them are young fathers, some of them are in the middle of it, some of them are at the end of it. God, some of them have already raised their children, and God, now are reaping the benefits and the blessings of grandchildren and great-grandchildren. But God, regardless of their age this morning, God, regardless of the life experience that they have or have not had yet, God, what we do know is that you are a good father. And God, if we focus on you, you make us better earthly fathers. So Lord, I pray this morning that you would just open the hearts and the eyes of these men. God, let them be men of prayer. Let them be men willing to provide, willing to protect, and do everything that is necessary, God, to be involved and to invest into their children and their families, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren. God, let there be a spirit that rises up within them, God, that they begin to give, God, that very direct attention, and God, are very active within their family circles. God, today we pray for blessings to come upon them. God, that you would give them perfect words and perfect measure, God, at just the right time, Lord, to speak to their children, God, to be able to discipline them properly, but also to love them properly and instruct them properly. God, today I just pray that you would use them, God, as the priest of their home. God, let them never be afraid to be the priest of their home. God, not in a way that is, God, not in a way that is demanding, but God, just in a way that is living. God, that they live out being the priest of their home day after day. God, that their children would be able to witness your word, witness your character, God, through their lives today. Father, we honor our fathers today. We bless them, and Lord, we pray your blessings upon them, God, in greater measure from this day forward. In Christ's mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. If you would, just give our fathers another hand of appreciation this morning.
Thank you again for listening to this message. For more information on our church and the ministries that we offer, please visit us on the web at lccmadisonville.com or at any of our social media accounts at lccmadisonville.